Dick. Well, I hear myself. I started to say, if you can't hear me, and we've been wrestling with equipment in here, and if I look like I just came through a major battle in Afghanistan or Iraq, it's been worse. I'm here tonight to put out a plea to the congregation. I haven't even looked at your reservation, but that's not the subject. We have come under demonic attack. Unbelievable demonic attack this week. Sunday we were rejoicing. We had a new roof on this building. Volunteers were scheduled to come in here Monday, and they did, and put up new tiles on this roof, and they showed up. And then the storm came. Now, we have had problems. All of you who come as Voices of Faith know that. We have had problems with leaks in this building and fixing the leaks for the full 28 years I've been here. And every time rain is forecast, the crew goes on the roof and spreads plastic and covers all the vulnerable areas. And I can't count the number of teams of employees that have gone up with tar and patch and fixed it. But we thought we had a new roof. We did. Brand new roof. A lot of money. In the neighborhood, just under $40,000. So, I think it's understandable we didn't go up and cover it with plastic. The rains came and this place turned into a sieve. More rain damage and destruction than we've ever had in the history of the ministry. At the same time, I got a call that there was leak, rain, water pouring into the cathedral. As you know, we've paid a fortune. We're talking up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for new sound equipment and new cameras. What we thought would be the safest place to store the equipment between Sundays is that our Religious Cultural Commission office, just off the mezzanine as you go in, that's where the leak was. I'm trying to add up the amount. Secret one. The real shrine of this ministry, to you that know, where the ministry turned around. Somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000 to put new roofs in anticipation of winter on those buildings. To find the living room bathed in rainwater. And that was just the beginning. I have sent crews ad infinitum this summer to make sure that King's House 1, that had bad leaks a year or so ago, and a small fortune was invested to recarpet. I'm talking about my office and the office and security area of the building, to treat it for mold and cure damage that was unbelievable. And we have sent people to make sure this winter we wouldn't have a repeat, including sending some old guard crew members that still are a few around to the specific area above my offices where the past leaks have been most damaging and where all the new carpeting and repairs have been made. Water pouring in until they could not empty the buckets fast enough. 3 and 4 people. Until my wife came up with the idea of stapling plastic on the roof and creating a funnel to send it out the window by the uplink. But that was just the beginning. The old FM area, the entire upstairs security office complex, so damaged, I'm not sure we can do anything but just gut the upstairs floor and rebuild it back. Stains already on the new tiles that were put up Monday, not knowing that the new roof would not protect. Buildings can be replaced. Houses may crumble. My life's ministry, and the purpose of this church, 28 years of teaching, is in the tapes. If they're gone, my life's work is not wiped out, and that cannot be replaced. The tape room that we call traffic. Tape standing in water many inches deep. Until 3:30 this morning, tape were being pulled out like rust accumulates from oxidization. The chrome or whatever it is on these tapes, if water damage and humidity hits them, they oxidize in a way similar to rust, and the tapes are ruined. Every office available has tapes laid out, lids taken off of them. Everything we can do to dehumidify and you will understand some of my pain about the old guard, who sit when they hear me talk, and instead of counting their lucky stars that God has not struck them dead with a lightning bolt, or turned off on them as Isaiah 6 indicates, his disgust, or the sons of Eli, who would not listen to their father because God wanted to kill them. I send warning to you old guard people, you better be on your face thanking God that you can still occupy a seat in this cathedral and that he has not yet decided he wants you dead eternally. Human nature rationalizes and makes excuses, which is why most of them are gone. I gave orders so long ago I can't remember the years to move everything related to the bookstore and to tape duplication over here in the computer room. I found typical old guard attitudes that I can't mean what I say. So there's an exception to everything. And I find that they are still going back and forth and duplicating some stuff because it was just a little bit too much work to move some of the bigger items involving duplication. And I had my understandable reaction to that and ordered everything brought over here. Because we've been on a many-year crusade to save these old tapes and digitize them and make copies on more modern mediums. I find a room at King's House 1 with no air vents in it and rain pouring through to such a degree that, again, my wife had to conceive the plan to get plastic and staple it to walls and create a hole in the middle because the water was pouring in like rain until they couldn't catch it in buckets until it would run down the plastic to this hole and go in a bucket. That room full of original reel-to-reel master audio tapes. While like the night Jesus was crucified, most of you that have had the appeal from me to be volunteers are sleeping away. And as usual, the volunteers who came here on Monday and thought a job would be finished, and I can tell you, had I been here organizing it, it would have been. I ordered the renting of 5 scaffolds for a week. There's only one way to do it. You line 5 scaffolds up, and you get work crews tearing the old things off until, in one fell swoop, you've got all the tile off. And part of the attitude that I've been dealing with, and at least my wife is attacking, and I've never had a staff member that in 28 years would listen to one of the two reasons I came here, which is respect for this office. A moronic squirrel that had listened to me for the last 28 years would have set the first scaffold right here where I sit, which, without which, being operational, I cannot do a festival. And in live emergency, cannot come here. Anybody who understood what I've been teaching about the office would have started right over this position here. It's that kind of mindless disrespect that familiarity over the years has brought and will no longer be tolerated. and my wife has to come in and ask why they're starting over there instead of over the pastor's chair. And the crew is being run by a former old guard member of my staff that, if he's listening, had better be kissing the paddle, kicking his own ass, and apologizing for the kind of mindlessness which is why he's not here now. You're not doing me any favors, any of you old guard people, with your volunteering. The calling of God is without recall, and God taps you on the shoulder, or you were a damn liar to God and yourself in the reason you gave for coming here. And the call of God is without recall, and you messed up, and you're still being given mercy, and you've got to get on your face as David did before God, against thee, O God, have I sinned. And every old God member in this congregation knows what happens when rain comes, and you're prideful. Prideful, evil self would wait to be called instead of saying, I know what the crisis is when the worst rain of the season comes. Can I be of help? Anything. Carrying buckets. And you are guilty before God. God. In his heavens, it better be addressed in your repentance. We're under attack. I'm going through, but a lot of you casual, comfortable saints that have not heard the bugle call are going to be left out. I once asked for a company of the committed. Like the three who only heard David whisper and risked their lives. And the one who stood in a barley field and defended it alone until they had to pull his fingers when it was over off the handle of the sword, the grip being so fixed. Even of him it is said, yet he did not attain unto the first three. I didn't come to town and deceive or con or say it any differently. I came looking for the uncommon man or woman. I don't want you in this church, and God doesn't want you in this church if you become common. And the burden of proof is on you that if you're going to be a Christian, be one. In this modern sea of hypocrisy and self-serving utilization of God with no cross at the heart of it. Oh, a mob cried, crucify him. There were more people that Jesus had healed and delivered in that country in his 3.5 years. And all the people in that mob that screamed crucify him. You know, I find it fascinating that all the people that Jesus performed miracles over, not a one of them made a dent in Christianity. Even though the traditions say Lazarus was the first bishop of Marseille, he didn't leave anything that can guide us in our Christian walk. Christianity's got it all backwards. And no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit drawing. Hark back to the Ephesian preaching, chosen before the worlds were formed. Either chosen or you aren't. Many called, few chosen. Serve yourself and go to hell. Deny self and follow me. Has ever been the message of Jesus. It's ever been the message I've preached since I've been here. And many of you saints have gone too comfortable. And I have nothing but disgust for you old guard ex-employees sitting out there thinking I'm going to degrade God by calling you. You prideful, backslidden, sorry excuses for manhood, much less Christianity. 40 people came in and out of here Monday. And 39 people knew the job wasn't finished, but drifted away. You make me sick. You had an opportunity and an honor. Where's the spirit of that man? He had to take his fingers off of the hilt of the sword. Well, I could only take one day off. Yeah, well, I bet you're creative enough to figure out how to take another day off. But I doubt seriously you were working such hours that you couldn't have gotten back in here every day after work until this job was finished. Don't give me your excuses. That's why most of the old guard's gone. I feel contaminated to pastor some of you. Well, I'm leaving. How quickly? And how quickly will you call and tell me I don't want my King's House number? Go find an ass-kissing pastor. Burn his lips with your hot ass in hell when you both get there. This is war. And the devil pulled out all the stops. And too many of you weren't here. Oh, goody. Pastor, put a new roof on. Oh, goody. Some of you are getting offended because you're being forced to learn some manners. On the job here, you're learning to speak when you're spoken to, or ask for an audience from somebody for you. When I or my wife walk in, and we're carrying on a conversation with a group, and you yell out to one of the group, "I don't know who raised some of you. You must be Johnny come lately to this church, because I pastored you long enough to have raised you. You better get some manners around me." What about the tapes? I don't know. You know what I'm most angry about? That's why I'm coming down so hard on the old guard. Members of my staff know that it's been leaking back there where the tapes are stored. Members of my staff know that it's been leaking, and that tapes I ordered brought over here were not brought over here. And I may, I don't know, tell you the honest truth, of digging my computer, my brain long enough, it'll come to me. But I may have been party or may not have been party to a decision, because we're crowded here, to move some of the tapes, the big 2-inch tapes, over to King's House 1. But I wasn't party and was never reminded and haven't been told how many hundreds of tapes were put in a room. And because it was formerly a children's room, tables and chairs just stacked up in part of that room instead of being moved to another useful place. And the old guard that was here in the studio was not transcribing and copying the tapes that were taken over there. But as they do copy and digitize, not digitize, but put it on modern stuff, DVC or whatever it is, I don't understand these acronyms, digital in some respect, and they would preserve a 2-inch tape by putting it on modern stuff. They've been taking 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 of those over to that same room, but I'm left out of the loop, as I always have been. And as we've gotten involved in the programming, nobody's telling me, nobody inventories, nobody gives me a list of what tapes are buried over there in that rain wrench building. 2-inch tapes I'm talking about now. And I can tell you the conversation if some new person ever asked any one of the old guard, "Well, it's damp back here and humidity." That's been going on a long time. I can absolutely guarantee you that would have been the answer. I'm so tired of saying, "Why are you doing that?" Well, it's been going on a long time. Well, now, find me a more perfect argument for sin. Been going on since Adam. When you serve self and stay in that self-preservation mood, you become insane. You literally become insane like the prodigal son, which are stupid, ass-covering excuses. An army that God assembled here to do His work are gone. And if they don't straighten out, we'll go to hell, because they wouldn't stop making excuses. I can absolutely guarantee. And at 3 in the morning, a remainder old guard who heard that the tapes had been taken out and put in the hallway, very eloquently gave me a meaningful and heart-rending speech. Well, the lids have to be taken off. And the humidity has to be sucked out. Or they will oxidize. And after 12 to 24 hours of being opened up and checked for moisture inside the cases and put in a dehumidifying scenario, they've got to be kept in a room with a constant temperature. And he was so eloquent with his knowledge, which I didn't have. But why am I supposed to know that? When have I ever gone back in traffic when it's raining? How would I know that water's dripping back there? And it's been going on, just worse this time because seams in the new roof were not together properly. How would I know? And we hire new people, and then another turnover, and another turnover. And one of two things happened. Well, it's here when I got here, so Doc must know about it, therefore I must be okay. Or if they happen to ask an old guard, it's been like that a long time. You as a congregation did not believe how bad it was, as I've told you, the last 5 years. You've had no identity, even though I've told you since I came here, of the von Bowman syndrome. I don't need your pity, and I will survive, and probably survive, a lot of you that have sat out there in judgment. I'll be around preaching when you're flying. Because I came to town honest and have let my ups and downs, like David in the Psalms, play out in front of you. My tears and my joys. And you were spoiled. But unlike Samuel, who nailed Israel to the wall and called them to account to tell him where he had ever failed in his assignments for his faithfulness. The man who built the school of the prophets and laid the foundation for the nation of Israel. In his swan song speech, he then stepped aside like General MacArthur to just fade away. I'm not doing that, you are. And neither will I do what Moses did and violate God's purposes trying to save you rebels. But I love hard and deep. And I have to know when someone has been put in my cradle that at the judgment seat of Christ, He knows and I know I did all I could do. Some people just don't respond like Israel. For some people, love, endurance, long-suffering does not produce metanoia because they are a metanoia. And I feel like the moment I stepped to the pulpit to take an offering at Faith Center years ago and said, I'm not on trial any longer. You are. I'll give it to that old church. Were I to play that tape, you could hear the feet thumping on the floor as they ran to the front. commit themselves to follow. Too many of you have lost it. This terrible disaster, as so many more, only reveals the sickness of the sons of Eli who have been here and did not, as stewards, report to me. Anybody telling me that these tapes were in an area of dampness and humidity, why would I know? Somebody has to tell me that dampness and that humidity, I'm talking like an expert now because I've been told the last 24 hours. That those tapes are in an area that can destroy what will perpetuate. I have drummed along for 28 years. I've not written any books. I've not tried to get on the bestseller lists of coming out with books. I've had to live with other preachers publishing books that they stole the ideas and the information from me. I have felt God had commissioned me to lay these tracks down. And if there is a pattern, as J. Vernon McGee, whose teaching through the Bible continues around the world, I knew that if something happened to me, these tapes ensured this ministry till Jesus comes. Does anybody in their right mind think if someone had come to me and said, these tapes are in a dangerous place? I would not say, go rent an air-conditioned warehouse. Well, he must know. How am I to know? I run the world's biggest ministry without a secretary. It's not the world's biggest ministry, but I run the world's biggest ministry without a secretary. An assistant pastor. I had a dream of spiritual signs. Well, that dream's dead. I'm moving on. But as a congregation, you better wake up. And I better get some volunteers that are ready to march, keep their mouth shut, take orders, and get their hands dirty. Because we've got a job to do. And I have a wife that'll kill herself if necessary to get it done. So you better damn well respect her. We understand each other?
Yes, sir.
I'm ashamed of most of you. More ashamed of the prideful, self-pitying, slobbering, bawling, evil ex-employees who didn't rise to the challenge than anybody. I want to take a shower that I tried as hard as I did with you. I don't owe you a thing. What you owe God is not payable. What you owe me would bankrupt you. And to you volunteers that have stepped in the gap, immeasurable gratitude. And we're sitting down here tonight trying to have a festival thrown together in the midst of this disaster. And I'm looking over here, and this. If there was some visible way to let disgust just pour out of me, five people add to the devil's victory. We're five people, five reservations short of the quota. Because you will not hear the message. We will not have victory until you act as though the whole war depends upon you. I'm not sure there's any pastor left in the world that's more concerned about your soul than you are. Except this one. Now get on the telephone. You know, for the first time since we've been married, my wife cried herself to sleep about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. Not over me or any problem between us, but her genuine grief over what she saw and the damage potential to the tapes. I'd like to see some more of you start caring like that. I'm on that borderline in the Romans teaching. We've been entrusted with the oracles of God. That's what sat back here in the back of this building. The people handling them, like I imagine an ABC or Fox affiliate handles tapes that have been shipped into them. Long since lost the vision of the fountain of faith. In our darkest hour, we declared it. When there are no visible hopes of even surviving, much less covering the world, we would be washing this globe with God's Word until He descends as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those tapes make that possible. That's the sole reason that one voice can go 24 hours a day around this globe. Treated casually. I wonder what would have happened to the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament that had to take down the tabernacle every time they moved. Had to wrap the ark a certain way, cover it a certain way. The exterior wrapped until no one in that 750,000 people could fail to see where it was. And the very marchings and encampments of the Israelites were set in relationship to that ark as they marched, and the elements bound up, and to the tabernacle when it was unpacked and set up. That tabernacle was the oracles of God. I spent years teaching on the message of the tabernacle. And the gospel message of those types. Those tapes are the future of this ministry and the present of this ministry by which we stay 24 hours a day. May those who walk by them as though they were just a box of Kleenex. Hope for the urge that can only come from God to fall on their face and cry out for forgiveness for their failure of stewardship. This is attitude, folks. There is no treasure this church possesses, including the Bible collection, that can match those 28 years of teaching tapes, because that's what unfolds the content of the Bible collection. At least I'll give it to the Catholics. They walk by something and cross themselves. Now, in spite of what has been said tonight, there's still four reservations short of the quota. I am getting commitments. Just got one from a 16-year-old teenager. He volunteers. It's time to repent, folks, and return to your first love. Do your first works over. You backslidden ex-voices of faith. You backslidden ex-employees. Swimming in the vomit of your self-pity. God's still on His throne. He's given you another chance in a different way. And many others of you have come to the kingdom for this hour. Well, don't sit there in some stupid freeze. Get on the telephone. I want to go to the table of the Lord the next half hour. All right? No more calls. In the early days, I spent endless, it seemed, teaching communions on 1 Corinthians 11. A lot of people are listening now that were not present then. The night Jesus was betrayed, He gathered with His disciples to celebrate Passover. Without knowing its full meaning, down through the centuries since that night and day of deliverance in Egypt, they had been instructed to keep the Passover with wine, and broken bread. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and the cup and established forever its meaning. And He said that this was to be done as He established what we call a sacrament. This was to be done in remembrance of Him. And as oft as we do it, we're to remember Him. It became a battlefield through the church in order to compete with the mystery religions, the medieval church. Begin to teach transubstantiation. That when they uttered the oracular saying, leave it alone, John. You're fine right where you are. Don't move your head. Don't look at anything. Just lock it down and leave it be. Because you're right in front of me and I don't want to be distracted. Compete with the mystery religions. They would utter an oracular saying. This is as old as the heathen religions in Babylon, where our word cannibal comes from the rite of ancient Babylon, Kana Baal, eating Baal, as they would give some oracular utterance, and a little round cake, they would mystically communicate to the people they were absorbing and eating the god. Transubstantiation began to promulgate that the saying in Latin that is the basis for our words, hocus pocus, hocus corpus meus, this is my body. It even pervaded the Protestant Reformation. Luther never got away from transubstantiation. He still believed it. There's no biblical basis for that in that night that Paul passed on saying, I deliver unto you that which I also received. How that Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Eat it. And took the cup and says, this is my blood which is shed for you. As before going to the cross and being led away that night, he gave the meaning to this Passover feast. He was sitting at the table. His blood was still in his body when he said, this is my blood, taking the cup. He was sitting at the table. His flesh had not yet been nailed to the cross. He said, this is my body. No hint of transubstantiation. That's more mystery religion penetration into Christianity. It's a symbol. But it's a symbol to give focus. It's the icon of the icons that becomes a point of contact or a foci of attention through which you look to the meaning behind the symbol. The wine is the symbol of his blood. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the soul resides in the blood. If the sin comes death, and when the blood poured out, death results. Without the shedding of blood, the giving of life is payment for sin. There's no remission of sins. God said, for sin comes death. And as Paul would later teach, in the first Adam we were all condemned. And because of Adam's sin, he was separated from the source of life, walled away by the cherubims with flaming swords from the tree of life, and began to die at that moment. We've been suffering ever since. And as all suffer the consequences of Adam's sin, all suffer the benefits of the second Adam's death and resurrection. And the element of the wine simply is to bring focus. He died in my place, one who had never known absence from the light of God, one who had never known God's wrath, didn't deserve it, one who had been equal with the Father, who emptied himself for our sake, took the darkness we deserve. When he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, it wasn't the physical pain he was facing. It was the wrath, the object of, or being the object of God's wrath that he didn't want in his natural clothing as he took upon himself our form. And that night he established its meaning. It had been pointing through the centuries. That night in Israel, blood on the door and a slain lamb. Let the death angel pass over. Roasted lamb eaten for strength behind closed doors. Healed all of them before they marched out. And there wasn't a feeble one in their midst when they went forth. Through the centuries, it became a ritual. People didn't believe or understand its meaning. It came to culmination. And the type passed away and the antitype of reality stepped on the scene. And these two elements are to be picked up, and we are to remember him, what he did, and by faith claim the consequences, benefit for what he did. And 1 Corinthians 11 has been a club that has been used to beat on saints down through the centuries as another great error. I grew up in an atmosphere where I heard preachers drone on, mischaracterizing what Paul said to the Corinthians. Well, you better examine yourself, because if you eat and drink unworthy, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. That's not what Paul said. Paul was dealing with a church full of carnality. The Lord's Supper was tacked on the end of what was called the Agape Feast. They would meet for a love feast of fellowship. The rich would bring their bounty and the poor would hunker in the corner to hide their meager supply. Some would even get drunk and then they'd tack the Lord's Supper on at the end. They did it as a ritual. Didn't do it with meaning or understanding. And Paul never once said, if you eat and drink unworthy, you eat and drink damnation. He said, unworthily. Unworthily is an adverb. Adverbs are added to verbs. They modify the verb. Adjectives modify the entity, the person or thing. Unworthy is an adjective. Unworthily is an adverb. He was focusing on the manner of partaking, not the partaker. The concern was on the action, whether it was an act done worthily or an act done unworthily. And he defined what partaking unworthily is. Eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body. And again, the father of error, the devil who comes and twists scriptures, sounds good at first calling. I've heard some recent preachers saying, well, you're not discerning the body of Christ as it exists today. And you've got to have more empathy for the other saints that are sick and be praying for them and discerning them. Well, you ought to be doing that all the time. We ought to bear one another's burdens. The body of Christ, one suffers, all suffer. It had nothing to do with the table of the Lord. If those who propounded that theory could pay a little attention to Greek syntax and grammar, it's very clear whose body is being talked about. It's our Lord's body and what he offered that night when he gave meaning to the Passover. Not discerning the meaning of these elements, not remembering Him, focusing on everything else and just going through the ritual. Cerebral Christianity, habituated. You eat and drink worthily when you discern through these elements, focusing your every thought on what these elements represent and what they mean. And that's why I've spent these many, many years, hundreds of communions, teaching what these elements mean through all the types of the Old Testament, and more recently, camping out on Isaiah 53. You partake worthily when you look through this cup and realize none of us are worthy. There's a lot of examination ought to be done. Particularly, we're told to examine ourselves whether or not we be in the faith, or if something else slipped in as our Christian expression. But at this table, I've carried a one-man crusade pretty effectively these last years, because I seldom see somebody on TV now telling you to examine yourself to see if you're worthy. You're to examine your manner of partaking. Are you recognizing as you lift this cup with the help of its icon status, its symbolic meaning, looking past the symbol to the realization tonight as we partake, I am unworthy. But as I look through this cup and realize He died for me, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. With my task before God as the one, the under-shepherd who will stand at the judgment seat, you won't. As the gifted domitat of this congregation, accountable for your souls, I was pretty hard on some of you tonight. Without repentance in that true meaning of it, as we've taught in Romans. A whole mind change, a whole change of view about ourselves and God. The worst of you tonight, if there is still a desire which can only come from God's Spirit, you can look through this cup and say, thank God, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. What a despicable, blasphemous statement to say that and not have the attitude and our shortcomings that David had in Psalm 51. Against Thee, O God, have I sinned. And I am a sinner, being saved by grace. Thank God, this moment, starting over again, made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Two elements at Passover. They ate the roasted lamb for strength, and as I've said already, marched out without a feeble one in their midst. Two elements at the table that night, bread and wine. If sin's the only thing at issue, all you need is the cup. His body was broken for us. And I go back to Isaiah 53 again. The punishment that would requite, pay in full, and thereby restore something that had been lost, was upon Him. And that which was lost was shalom, well-being and health. God didn't create us to be sick. This week has been hell for this ministry. In the midst of it, my wife called me and said, will you please pray? And I said, God will enter in. Said it today to her. God will enter into all things and work His good. We've been pulling each other up in faith. God can allow the devil to test us, as I've been preaching, in any way he wants. But the tested ones, the woomies, as I've been preaching, can be spared fighting the battle sick. That one thing he gave us, this element, to partake of and to remember. The requitement, the chastisement of our health was upon him, and with his stripes. Tonight all you sick ones can take this bread and partake of it worthily as you see through it. This broken bread symbolizes his bruised and broken body. And sick and disease-racked body, as he was made that night and day to be acquainted with sickness, picked up and carried away by him, that I might say joyously, with his stripes, I was healed.